everyone to our council meeting Tuesday, August 6, 2019. If you could please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus.
Present.
Councilmember Branquino.
Here.
Councilmember Cuff.
Here.
Councilmember Howell.
Here.
Mayor Melissa Holland is absent.
Excellent. Thank you. Right now, I'd like to open it up to public participation for anyone who would like to comment. You'll have 3 minutes once you approach the podium and you state your name for the record. Who wants to go first?
Richard Atchison, and here to talk about there's some land. We're always looking for land for, in this case, T-ball, Little League, and recreation in general. And I'm just trying to find out if planning or somebody here has any information on up off of London, Lever Road makes kind of a horseshoe onto London. I travel it; it's about a mile. That land, as far as I know, is owned by the city. It could be a park, it could be anything. Now, that's the rumor I've heard since I've lived here, but I haven't really had it totally confirmed. There is no activities up in the L section. All the children have no place to play, and they're a long ways from anywhere crossing a highway, or they're going to go all the way down to Belterre. So it could be used for that. It could be used for the softball, T-ball, baseball, Little League type of thing. It's land that's already there, it's just not being used. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it has changed. The last time I asked was about 6 or 7 years ago. I said, oh, no, it's there, and it's there to be used, but it's not being used. So I'm just questioning why it hasn't been used, and I'd like to just find out some information on that. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Next speaker.
My name is Celia Puglisi. I am a resident of Palm Coast, and I'm coming here to ask you for a couple of things. First of all, this weekend I was rarely out on my boat at this age, and I took the main canal where I live towards the marina. I was shocked, and I have here pictures that I will leave with our consul about the waves caused by people speeding on our saltwater canal west of the Palm Coast Resort Marina. I have here a picture. We have many more than that. I just printed this. This was around March last year. I was shocked to see all these people speeding, these big wakes, and I saw the Palm Club condos wall practically all collapsing in the biggest sections of the 1,000-foot wall, seawall they have. Now, I have a question. First of all, we need those buoys with minimum wake, as the Marine Patrol says. There was no Marine Patrol that day. It was Sunday around 11 a.m. Everybody's speeding there inside our canals. So I will leave these pictures with you. I will leave also... I'm asking about, this is a serious issue with the Palm Club canal's seawall falling down. I don't know why if it's falling down. It was repaired in 2006 by Ericsson, in 2009 by the Klein Company, and it's falling down. It might hurt somebody on the water, a paddle boater, a kayaker, unaware, because it's yellow tape on the land, but you cannot put yellow tape on the water. Besides that, it's an eyesore and really undermines the price of all of Palm Coast in the water in that area. So I would like to know when this is going to be resolved through court enforcement. I will appreciate that. One other thing is that, and the buoys, please. The buoys are needed, because some of the people that I spoke with, they said, oh, well, I didn't know. It's not marked. We need the buoys marking the speed. One other thing is, for me, unfortunately, Palm Coast Connect is not working. Before, I used to enter a code enforcement complaint, and the next day immediately comes up on the website, the old website, it comes up at what time the inspector went, which date, What did they find? If they found a violation, or if they didn't, if they find a violation, they gave an NOB, notice of violation, posted all for us to see. And if they found a violation, what it was and when it's going to be resolved, if it's going to be resolved, and the day that they will come back to reinspect. All of that is great for PAMCO's transparency. We have the right to that information. Also, the way the website was before, now you could see all the violations in those homes, for many, many other months. So I will appreciate to have back what we had before. Thank you.
Thank you, Celia. Next speaker.
Go ahead.
How are you doing, sir? Christopher Sleep. Just one real quick thing. If there was by any chance on Fellowship where that crosswalk with the trail is, to put some sort of motion detector when a pedestrian or bicyclist hits a certain point, that there's signs that flash when they're about to cross the street, because even though it is 30 miles an hour, some of the bicyclists don't stop, and it's kind of a danger to both the motorist and the pedestrian, and that's really the only thing I got.
Understood. Thank you. Next speaker.
Jack Kyle, Palm Coast. You know, I travel the streets a lot, but what I find the worst violation, well, to me it's a violation anyway, is when a truck that's doing business parks on a curve where you can't see anything coming or going. Now, if we're talking about safety, and if we're talking about people that should be preserved in life, right? I think we should put some kind of an ordinance where you can't park on a curb. I'm not a curb, a curve, C-U-R-V-E. Now, they could park, if they're doing business, they could park on a side street, or they could park somewhere else, as long as they leave that street open so that the driver can see what's coming towards him or see what's going to come behind them. That's my complaint. So I think you should do something about that, or either that, drive around some more and see what the complaints are. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
It's the business people that are doing it. Oh, by the way, just thought of it. I would like to ask, How many businesses operate from their own home? How many businesses work out of their own house? And how much are we charging them? What kind of a fee do we charge them to be in business? Now, the last time I remember, and I'm going back a few years, it was $25. The fee was $25. Right. Okay. That's for you to consider. A fee is $25 for 20 years. It's ridiculous.
Thank you, Jack. Next speaker.
Hi, William Warren with Palm Coast Little League. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the city manager's office, Parks and Rec, Lauren Johnson, Matt Martin, and Carl Rocote for all their help. It was a great deal of ease, and actually seems like someone was listening to us. We just wanted to thank you all. That's all. Thank you again.
Thank you. Next speaker.
My name is Dennis Talbot. I first contacted the city of Palm Coast about the middle of June about new home construction draining rainwater onto my property. I have been in constant contact with Jason DiLorenzo since about July 4th. I've also been in limited contact with the city manager and a B. Grossman before that. I met with this, I believe he was the city engineer, and four other people on my property about 16 days ago. I thought the issue was going to be settled. I agreed to what the remedy that the city told me would happen. To date, nothing has been done to resolve the runoff on my backyard, even though I was told it would be fixed by the contractor. The side yard was fixed per what Jason told me they would do. The side yard is not the issue. It's my backyard that floods from their runoff. I sent pictures to Jason and Matt with the flooding on my property. All I hear, it'll be fixed when the city inspects the pool going up next door. I guess that may never happen. Up until that time, it gets fixed. I get flooded every time we get a hard rain. It's against city code to have runoff draining onto adjoining property, and the city is doing nothing to remedy this issue. I have almost every email between Jason and I, and at this point, I feel I am being fed a line of crap by the city. It's time the city holds the contractor or owner responsible to adhere to the code that the city has. I got all kinds of emails and all kinds of information if anybody wants it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. All right. We will go ahead and close public comment. I will address the comments in chronological order. First, the property off of London, I'm not 100% sure whether that's reserved for a pocket park. I'll defer to Beau.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I think the best is probably for Ray Tyner or Jose Papa to get with Mr. Atchison. Ray, if you can just raise your hand, maybe after the meeting or after public comment, address that issue.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Celia, I completely concur that the boat speeding in our intercoastal waterway is an issue. I'll follow up with staff to see whether or not we can interface with the sheriff for buoy markers for minimum wake zones. I know that when seawalls start to deteriorate, it has a cascading effect. So if seawalls are being impacted, then that is of utmost importance. I concur. I'm also sorry to hear about your Palm Coast Connect app. That I haven't heard anything in that regard. But for everyone else in the audience, Palm Coast Connect is an app that we have that allows you to interface with the city, and you can take pictures of anything you'd like to report or question, submit it, and you'll get feedback. So I'll follow up to make sure that that is actually occurring for you, Celia. Thank you. Christopher, the cyclists and the blinking lights, I think that's a tremendous idea. I was actually hopeful that perhaps the city would engage our interns to come up with some creative solutions for some of the programs that we had tried to involve the city in, mostly improvements for citizen safety and also pedestrian safety, cyclist safety. But there's a few instances in the city where crosswalks are a bit abbreviated when you're coming around corners and such, so I appreciate your concern, and I will look into different ways that we can engage our interns and also anything proactively.
Yeah, it's just a long stretch and it's blocked.
Understood. Yep. Thank you. Let's see, Jack, courteous parking on the curbs. I completely concur. We need to ensure that we also have to be a little bit more vigilant. I'm not certain whether or not we will be able to outlaw people parking on curbs, but if while we're consuming these services that they're delivering, we can all ensure that we alert the commercial business owner that they should be parking somewhere that doesn't cause diversions in traffic that are potentially dangerous, that would be helpful. And I don't have the exact numbers for the home-based businesses that we have in Palm Coast. I would have to defer to Beau, who would probably defer to Ray from the BOC, BAC. And I'm not certain of the fees or taxes that we collect. I do know that there is an at-home business fee. I just can't say for certain what that is. Beau, do you know off the top of your head?
Off the top, it's more than $25. I know that. And we will. I'll have Ms. Alves, our finance director, get that information to Jack about the number and the exact dollar amount so we're not guessing tonight.
Tremendous. Excellent. Thank you, Jack. William, thank you very much for coming back and giving us the support and the reassurance that we're doing the right thing. I greatly appreciate that. Palm Coast City Council supports Little League, and you guys are doing a tremendous thing, and the enormity of your success this season has been tremendous, so keep it up, and it's a mutually beneficial relationship, so thank you. Dennis, the house is with the flood. I will defer to Jason that he will resolve that issue, and I will also chat with him after this. I greatly appreciate you bringing that to our attention, though. Thank you. Okay, let's see. Moving on to the minutes. Minutes of City Council for July 16th, 2019 business meeting and the July 30th, 2019 workshop. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
A motion to approve those minutes. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against say nay. Motion passes 4-2-0. Next section is proclamations. First proclamation is National Senior Citizens Day. And Councilmember Branquino is going to be presenting.
Hello.
Hello, thank you. Are you going to be reading?
I want to read this.
Yes.
For you. Proclamation. See if my ass goes. Whereas National Senior Citizens Day is observed annually on August 21st to recognize the positive contributions senior citizens make in the communities across the United States and also to bring awareness of social, health, and economic issues that affect senior citizens. And whereas throughout history, older people have achieved much for our families, our communities, and to our country. And whereas, with improved health, can care and more years of productivity, older citizens are reinforcing their historical roles as leaders and as links to our patrimony and sense of the purpose of individuals and our nation. And whereas many older people embark on second careers, giving younger Americans a fine example of responsibility, resourcefulness, competence, and determination. Millions of senior citizens are serving as volunteers in our programs and projects and benefit every sector of society. And whereas, for they have achieved throughout life and for they continue to accomplish, we owe older citizens our thanks and our heartfelt salute. And whereas, we can best demonstrate our gratitude and esteem by making sure that the Palm Coast community is a great place in which mature and grow older, and a place which older people can participate in the fullest and can find the encouragement, acceptance, assistance, and services they need to contribute to lead lives and of independence and dignity. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the City of Palm Coast, Florida, August 21st, be officially designed as National Senior Citizens Day. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. I want to thank you again for honoring us with this proclamation. This is the third or fourth year we've done this. We need continued support for elders. And the proclamation says it all. It's about honoring, and it's also about facing some of the issues, dealing with some of the issues that elders deal with as far as health, medical, and economic and social issues. As far as the volunteers go, now 80 is the new 60, 60 is the new 40. We've heard that before. Well, in 1988, when this proclamation was first established by President Reagan, there were approximately 4.5 million senior volunteers. As of today, it's more like 48 million. And in 2050, the projected number is 80 million. So we're growing in numbers. We're also having better health. We have technological and medical advancements that help us get into this 80 is the new 60. But that's not true for everyone. There are some who are forgotten. I have worked in assisted living facilities for the last 6 years, and I can tell you that some of the people are very sad, very unfulfilled. And I think we really need to pay attention to a lot of the elders, whether they're in facilities or at home. We need to pay attention to them and bring to them our gifts as elders and otherwise. We have gifts to bring them. And I think from this audience, most of us are elders here. So when we honor them, we're honoring ourselves and we are honoring the community. We can bring our skills and our talents. We can bring a compassionate ear and a shoulder for these elders. We can bring our pet therapy dogs. We can bring them music and art and be there to reminisce with them. There are so many things that we can do for these people, and not just on August 21st, National Senior Citizens Day, any day. I think these assisted living facilities and nursing homes would welcome, very much welcome, the presence of community members to to brighten and enlighten their days. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Second proclamation tonight will be a proclamation wildfire awareness celebrating Smokey the Bear's 75th birthday. I guess he's also a senior citizen. That may be in bear years, though, so. Looking good for 75, Smokey.
Whereas on August 9th, 2019, Smokey Bear will celebrate his 75th birthday, which also marks his wildfire prevention campaign as the longest running public service campaign in U.S. history. Smokey's message is as relevant today as it was in 1944, as more people are living closer and closer to natural areas. So, no retirement for Smokey. And whereas the mission of the Florida Forest Service is to protect Florida and its people from the dangers of wildfire, wildland fire, and manage the forest resources through a stewardship ethic to assure they are available for future generations. And whereas in the last 5 years, Florida Forest Service wildland firefighters have responded to over 190 wildfires in Flagler County that burned nearly 1,800 acres, in many instances threatening communities and adjoining infrastructure. And whereas the Florida Forest Service is actively engaged in promoting and conducting prescribed burns and other wildfire mitigation practices to reduce the size and intensity of a wildfire that may threaten communities and other infrastructure. In the last 5 years, the Florida Forest Service has provided 15,251 burn authorizations to local ranches, farmers, and land managers in Flagler County to maintain and restore natural ecosystems and reduce the wildfire hazard. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the City Council of the City of Palm Coast that August is Wildfire Awareness Month, and congratulate Smokey Bear on his 75th birthday and his continued efforts to remind citizens to be careful when using fire in natural areas. Further, the board commends the men and women of the Florida Forest Service for their partnership with Flagler County and Smokey Bear in wildfire prevention and mitigation. Signed this 6th day of August, 2019, Mayor Melissa Holland. Congratulations, Smokey.
Mr. Vice Mayor and Council, throughout history, we've known many bears that have been wonderful for the communities and history itself. Going back to Teddy Bear, who was an offspring from Theodore Roosevelt, to Baloo from Kipling's Jungle Book, who taught us, you know, it's the best of life and make the best of it. And then there's Winnie the Pooh, who taught us patience, don't stick your hand in the honeypot. But out of all of the bears that you can imagine through history, no one has been making the fire service and the national United States more secure than Smokey Bear and the members of the Florida Forest Service. And today I'd like to introduce Julie Allen and Anthony Pelletet from the Forest Service and our very own Smokey Bear.
Thank you so much. On behalf of the Florida Forest Service and the Bunnell District, we thank you for your continued support. With the significant wildfire history that we have here in Flagler County and in Palm Coast, we genuinely value the relationship between the City of Palm Coast and, more importantly, the Fire Department. So thank you very much for your support.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
very much. Our third proclamation will be Purple Heart Day, presented by Jack Howell.
As we begin this, the four of us are members of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Chapter 808 here at Flagler. Some got one, some got three Purple Hearts. and I remember as a young Marine lieutenant in Quezon, Vietnam in 1968, my troops were busting me a little bit. Said, "Lieutenant, well, you ain't a real Marine unless you get a piece of purple." 20 minutes later, I joined the club. Now, that being said, I want to introduce each of these gentlemen. Steve Lunford was a Marine, and he doggone near died in his tour to Vietnam. Herschel Goldberg, very important to our organization because he was the deputy and then acting secretary of the Veterans Administration in D.C. Okay, and of course he was the national president 2 years ago, right, as the Purple Heart organization. And then Chris Sleet is one of our younger members from the Afghan-Iraq scenario, and he's lucky to be with us today with his injury, a very severe injury. And so, we collectively, with the rest of our organization, we lost quite a lot of people this past year because of Agent Orange and cancer. And we all have our issues right now with Agent Orange and cancer. And, you know, it's interesting how it takes place later on in life. So it is what it is. The Purple Heart, which I'll read here in a minute, is America's oldest award. And initially, it was the equivalent of the Medal of Honor. And then later on, it disappeared for a while, and then it came back in the 30s, I think it was, wasn't it?
It was called the Baron Badge, yeah. Back when Washington.
Right. Now, on the back of the Purple Heart Medal, it says for Merit. And that's very important. So, we have been very supported by the city of Palm Coast, and we want to give something back. And the city is going to be recognized, and you go ahead and read that, with a plaque from our chapter of the Military Order of Purple Heart. I should say Beverly Beach and Flagler Beach are also Purple Heart cities in this region.
All right, so like Jack's saying, I'm the senior vice commander. What we have here is a plaque. The Military Order of the Purple Heart Special Recognition Award is bestowed with pride to the City of Palm Coast, Florida, for your dedication and support honoring America's combat wounded veterans, becoming the Purple Heart City, presented by the Patriot members of Flagler County Chapter 808, Military Order of the Purple Heart, USA. And then we also have a flag that Palm Coast will be flying as well. It's a Purple Heart flag. And
this will be flying tomorrow. Tomorrow's the National Purple Heart Day. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Saying that, you know, most gave some gave all, and it's not an award that we actively go seeking, but sometimes when you're called upon to do things and put yourself, you know, below others and put others above you, that's the unfortunate.
unfortunate matter is things happen.
Now, the city has issued a proclamation to our chapter, and as a commander of the chapter, it is my privilege to read this. Whereas the Purple Heart, originally known as the Badge of Military Merit, is an American decoration, the oldest military decoration in the United States still given. And whereas the Purple Heart was established by General George Washington at Newburgh, New York on August 7, 1782, during the Revolutionary War, as an award for members of the Continental Army. And whereas it was the first award made available to the common soldier to recognize outstanding valor or merit. And whereas following nearly 150 years of its use, the Purple Heart was reestablished by President of the United States per War Department General Order No. 3, dated February 22, 1932. Whereas the Purple Heart is a combat decoration awarded to a member of the United States Armed Forces who had been wounded or paid the ultimate sacrifice in combat with a declared enemy of the United States of America. And whereas there are approximately 1.7 million Purple Heart recipients in our nation's history, whereas the City of Palm Coast appreciates the sacrifices our Purple Heart recipients made in defending our freedom and believe it is important that we acknowledge them for their courage and show them the honor and support they have earned. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the Mayor and the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, that August 7th, 2019 be designated as Purple Heart Day, and encourage all citizens to show their appreciation for the sacrifices our Purple Heart recipients have made in defending our freedoms, to acknowledge their courage, and to show them the honor and support they have earned. Signed the 6th day of August 2019, Melissa Holland, Mayor. So, guys,
thank you all for serving and everything you sacrificed. Well done, Councilman Howell. Moving on, we have ordinances. The second read, we have two of them. The first being an ordinance that amends the Tuscan Reserve MPD development agreement to add 8 additional units and amends the development standards and clarifies language for signs. Mr. Reichman.
Yes, Mr. Vice Mayor. This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending and restating the Madison Green and Tuscan Reserve Master Plan Development, or MPD, Development Agreement as to Tuscan Reserve only, providing for an increase in the maximum residential units from 115 to 123, and providing for revised development standards for parking, landscaping, buffer requirements, and additional language about signage, providing for conflicts, severability, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Vice Mayor, Council, this second read is a quasi-judicial matter, so that if there have been any ex-party communications between the first reading of this matter and tonight, those should be disclosed at this time.
Council?
Nothing.
I have
no
chat.
No, thank you.
None. Excellent. Okay. Staff.
Vice Mayor and Council, this is the second reading. The first reading was held July 16th, as well as a favorable recommendation from Planning Board, as well as a neighborhood meeting. There have been no comments, further comments or changes to this item. We believe this item is ready for final action by City Council. Staff is available for any questions that may arise during public comment.
Excellent. Council, do we have any questions or concerns that...
No questions.
Yeah. Okay, if our council is okay, I'd like to open it up to public comment. If anyone would like to comment on item G5, please approach the podium, state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Jack Carroll. They're adding 8 additional units. Now let me ask you a question. Where are they gonna take away from to put 8 new ones? In other words, you can't just say, well, we'll put 8 new units up in the air and see if it works. You've got to take away from one to increase another. So I would like to know where they're going to take away from to increase 8 more units. And I want to know why they want to go 8 more units.
Thank you, Jack. Next speaker? No, I see none. I will close public comment. Staff, if you feel free to answer that question. I know that the footprint had been modified, but if you could please...
Yes, sir. The way to get the 8 additional units is in order to do that, and the reduction of one building itself is simply to increase the height of the units.
Yep.
And that.
Yeah. That is the long and short of it. Council, any questions, concerns? Okay, bring it back to this council. Do I have a motion for item G5?
Move approval.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those against say nay. Motion passes 4-0. Item G6 is another ordinance which amends future land use map amendment for 2.8 plus or minus acres of land located 250 feet northwest of Old Kings Road Extension and Matanzas Woods Parkway intersection from conservation to Greenbelt Advent Health.
Mr. Vice Mayor, Council, this is a legislative matter. And the title is as follows: an ordinance to the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, providing for the amendment of the City of Palm Coast 2035 Comprehensive Plan as previously amended. This is pursuant to Section 163.3184 Florida Statutes and amends future land use map or flume designation for 2 acres more or less of an area within a 6.5 acre parcel more or less located 250 feet northwest of the Old Kings Road Extension and Matanzas Woods Parkway intersection, as more particularly described in the exhibit to this ordinance as Exhibit A, changing this from conservation to greenbelt, providing for codification, severability, and an effective date.
Thank you, Mr. Richman. Council, staff, this is the second reading. Do we have any comments or questions for staff?
Where is that exactly located on that extension? I'm picturing Matanzas, I'm picturing the intersection of Old Kings Road.
Yes, sir.
Is it across the street?
It's a northwest. I think this one will too.
It's a northwest corner.
There you go.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Does that help, sir?
I got it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Correct. Understood.
I said you weren't here, and that's the reason why.
All right. Mayor, Council, this is second reading. There have been no further comments or changes to the items from first. Once again, Planning Board did hear this item with favorable recommendation, as well as the neighborhood meeting, I think, was waived due to the limited ownership around the area. So,
understood. Council, do we have any questions, concerns for staff or Council?
Nothing.
No.
Bring it back to this Council. Is there a motion for item G6?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Public comment?
I'm sorry, I didn't open for public comment.
Public comment.
I got ahead of myself there. I'd like to open it up for public comment on item G6 first. If you'd like to comment on item G6, approach the podium, state your name, and you'll have 3 minutes. Okay, I see no public commenters. We will close public comment, and I will bring it back to this council for a motion.
Okay, I'll make that motion.
Excellent. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against say nay. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you, staff. Moving on, items H, ordinances first read. First ordinance is sunsetting the Leisure Services Advisory Committee, also known as LSAC, and repealing Chapter 2, Division 3, Leisure Services Advisory Committee of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast. Mr. Reichman?
Yes, Mr. Vice Mayor, of course. This is an ordinance of the City Council, City of Palm Coast, Florida, sunsetting the Leisure Services Advisory Committee, or LSAC, and replacing Chapter 2, Division 3, Leisure Services Advisory Committee of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast. This ordinance provides for conflicts, for non-codification, and provides for an effective date.
Excellent. Thank you. Beau, Lauren?
Ms. Johnson will give the details of this proposal.
We are anticipating to sunset the leisure services. Our city clerk's office tried numerous times to try and post the position, but we did not get any callbacks or any inquiries for the position. The group has not met since September of 2018. We as city staff will have a cultural arts review committee to present those applications to council, and then in future we hope to create a Parks and Recreation Foundation, nonprofit 501c3.
Excellent. Questions by council? No. I'm excited about the future opportunities that this could bring to us, so thank you. I'd open it up for public comment. If anyone would like to address the council or has questions for staff on items H7, please approach the podium, and you'll have 3 minutes. Okay, I see none. I will close public comment. I will bring item H7 back to this council for a motion.
I'll make it.
Excellent.
Everybody accept it.
Excellent. Okay, all those, did I hear a second?
Second.
Perfect. All those in favor say aye. Aye. All those against say nay. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. Moving on, item H8 is an ordinance amendment to the Grand Landings Master Plan Development Agreement. Mr. Reichman.
Of course, Mr. Vice Mayor, Council. This ordinance of the City Council, City of Palm Coast, Florida, is providing for an amendment to the official zoning map is established in section 2.06 of the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Code. It's for certain real property generally located south of the Flagler County Airport, west of Seminole Woods Parkway, and east of Belle Terre Boulevard, and is more particularly described in the Exhibit A attached to the ordinance. This is to amend the Grand Landings Master Plan Development, or MPD, agreement by increasing the allowed number of single-family detached or attached homes within the MPD from 749 to 890, and to allow the developer the option of developing all or a portion of the commercial acreage as multifamily residential, or MFR2. This ordinance provides for conflicts, severability, non-codification, and for an effective date. Mayor, Council, this is the first read of a quasi-judicial matter, so if any of the members of this council have received ex-party communications on this matter, those should be disclosed at this time.
Council?
No. I have. I discussed that my son-in-law and daughter live in that area, and just to get a better understanding, I attended the planning board meeting a few weeks ago, and also had an opportunity to speak to the developer and his attorney, and just to get a perspective of what's really going on here, to enhance my knowledge of the whole situation. So,
Councilmember, will you be making your decision tonight based upon the record that is created tonight in this quasi-judicial matter?
Mine is, I had no bearing on it. I have no, I guess what you're looking for, do I have a position one way or the other? Based on that, no. I'm open.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Staff?
If I can, Vice Mayor. So initially, Council did hear an item from this developer previously during, I think, your June meeting. That item was tabled and eventually withdrawn by this developer in order to work with the residents as requested by City Council. And so the developer essentially submitted a new application. That's what you have here today, entirely different from the previous one. So it did go through the process all over again, including neighborhood meetings, including a planning board hearing, and here today at the first council reading. So I just wanted to clarify that for you before staff gets into this presentation. With that, I know Mr. Tyner, Mr. Hoover here to go over the presentation.
Good evening, everyone. Bill Hoover, I'm a senior planner with the Planning Division. The existing Grand Landings community is located east of Belle Terre Boulevard, south of Flagler County Airport, and west of Seminole Woods Boulevard. It's about 774 acres, and at this time there's approximately 200 homes that have been completed in the project. A little history on this. In 2005, Flagler County approved a planned unit development, also known as a PUD, for the project. 2 years later, it was annexed into the city. In 2014, Grand Landings was rezoned by the City Council from its Flagler County PUD designation to a Palm Coast MPD. And then in March 2018, the City Council approved an amendment to the Grand Landings MPD. The future land use map shows the project primarily as yellow, which would be residential, except for the northeast corner along Seminole Woods Boulevard, which it shows as red, which is the mixed use area. This shows the zoning. Blue is MPD. And the existing Grand Landings MPD is 774 acres. It's approved for 749 either detached or attached single family homes. And then in the pink area in the northeast corner, that's the area that was designated mixed use on the flume, or the red area. And that is designated for 150,000 square feet of commercial uses. The applicant desires to increase the number of homes in Grand Landings by 141, which would increase the units from 749 to 890. Additionally, the applicant desires to have an option of developing part of the commercial area, or all of it even, as multifamily residential using the MFR2 zoning district standards. And staff reviews each project for five key criteria from the Land Development Code. A, it must not be in conflict with the public interest. B, it must be consistent with both the comprehensive plan and the Land Development Code. C, must not impose a hardship or significant liability on the city. D, must not create a nuisance or an unreasonable hazard. And E, must comply with all applicable government standards. And staff reviewed this pretty thoroughly for the five criteria, and we provided detailed findings in the staff report. And then in summary, we found that the MPD rezoning would not create a nuisance, hazard, or any compatibility issues, as it meets all development standards and is in compliance with its designations on the future land use map. The development of the site is consistent with policies of the future land use element and the transportation elements of the comprehensive plan, and the project will meet all applicable standards of the Land Development Code. Three signs have been erected prior to all of the public hearings on this project, and the developers met with the Grand Landings residents three different times, and staff was present at each one of those meetings. The Planning Board held a public hearing on July 17th. About 35 residents were in attendance, and the Planning Board recommended approval to the City Council by a 6-0 vote, subject to making two changes to the MPD agreement as proposed by the applicant. One, that the 35 feet would be the maximum height of any development in the multifamily area. And the commercial is already 35 feet. So the concern from the residents were that it allowed 60 feet, which could be even like five stories high. So the 35 feet was agreed to by the applicant at that time. The Planning Board made a second recommendation that there be a separate construction entrance off of Citation Boulevard, which would be the middle, once the middle and the westerly portion of the site gets developed. And that would be Citation where it goes east off of Belterre Boulevard. This is being advertised, so it'll come back for the August 20th City Council meeting, and then after that, platting will follow. Planning staff and the Planning Board both recommend City Council approve the proposed amendment to Grand Landings MPD, which is application number 3951, as presented with the Planning Board's proposed changes. and one if any or all of the 26-acre commercial areas developed for residential uses using the MFR2 standards, the building heights would be limited to 35 feet, and number two, a separate construction entrance would be constructed by the developer off of Citation Boulevard once development of phase four is commenced. And the applicants here that would like to make a few comments to the city council, Jeff Douglas is the owner's rep, as well as attorney Michael Cimento.
Good evening, council. Michael Cimento for the applicant. Again, thank you to your staff. It's been a project we've been working on for about 6 months. As he said, in May we had approval from the planning board on a project that had added about 113 acres to it and increased the residential units to 1,150. After some planning changes, though, we decided not to add that additional acreage, but instead we added 140 units to the existing development. So the boundaries of the existing development have not changed, but the number of units have. And one of the reasons for that was, if you recall back in 2005, the original lot designs were 70 to 120-foot lots. And sometime back in, I think about 2016 or 17, or actually before that, we amended it to allow 50-foot lots. And so the 50-foot lot program within Grand Landings has been going on for some time. And all this is a continuation of the exact same project pattern, housing stock, lot sizes. It's just that by changing from 70 to 125-foot lots down to the 50s, we have room for another 140 units. So that takes care of the unit count. At Planning Board, there was some confusion as to what that was about. The other thing that we talked about is there's now formal language in the PUD that provides for a conversion of the 26-acre commercial tract, which is at the entrance. And to give you some type of scale as to what 26 acres is, everybody understands the size of the public shopping center in Palm Coast. I believe it's called Island Walk. That's approximately 24 acres. So the developer wanted to have some flexibility into the future, not really believing that we're going to need another Publix Plaza of that size at the entrance of the subdivision, but to provide some commercial for the neighborhood so that they don't have to travel all the way and shorter trip lengths. And so we envision a mix of multifamily, whether it's townhouse or condominium or even apartments out front, along with the commercial. So there is a conversion in your PUD that allows for that. And as staff did say at Planning Board, we agreed to address some of the citizens and residents' comments and limited the height to any multifamily or commercial there to 35 feet. And in addition to that, if you saw on the plan that is up, that if you could put that plan up
yep.
there, there is a second entrance off of Citation Boulevard. Remember, we are also extending Citation Boulevard from its existing terminus due east, about to at least 600 feet. And at the top of phase four, can you show them where that is roughly?
Annotation's not working this evening.
Oh, okay. It is the...
See where the four is in the middle of the development? Up top? Up
top. Yeah.
Right. There's a new entrance. As we extend Citation Boulevard down, we'll have that second entrance there. So construction, yes. So construction will no longer need to be coming through the front gate, as you heard that in the past. We have an existing construction entrance at the south end, and a second entrance will be put up on Citation Boulevard for construction use specifically. So with that, we'll be available to answer any questions that you may have or any questions that the residents may have. And we thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Michael, I just have one quick question.
Yes, sir.
Are we still going to have 740 single homes in that?
No, it's going up to 800.
No, just the single homes.
It will all the additional density that we've asked for are for single family homes.
So definitely 700 single.
Yes. And
700. Okay.
But on the outside in the pink area, we clarified that language because it is mixed use under your comprehensive plan that allows for commercial and residential. And we clarified and added language in there that we can have a conversion out there. So the units in the pink will be in addition to the 800-something units that we'll have within the gates. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Michael, excuse me.
Oh,
just so I'm clear,
the Citation Boulevard construction entrance is a construction entrance, or is that planned as a second entrance to the community once Phase 4 is developed?
Both.
Okay, so that will be... Okay. Mm-hmm.
It will be used for the construction for Phases 4, 5, and 6 as we move west.
Now, there's not going to be any single-family affordable housing type of scenario inside the gated community. It's all in that pink area.
Well, there has been no talk of any type of what we call, you know, you call affordable housing, which we call tax credit.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, none of that is part of this development.
Because they, you know, as I mentioned before, my son-in-law and daughter live inside there, and that was one of their major concerns about what was going to come inside the gated community. And so I'm just following up on that.
Correct. That is not the plan. Okay.
Excellent. Okay. Any other questions? Council?
No.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's open it up for public comment. If anyone would like to approach the podium and comment on item H8, please do so now. You'll have 3 minutes once you state your name for the record.
Again, my name is Celia. I do have one concern. I know growth is something unavoidable, but my concern is all this housing, who is going to serve their sewer needs? Is the city of Palmcoast utility, or is going to be? Is this an independent the developer utility, like happening in this one that the county has a problem right now? It's called Plantation Bay, right?
Yes.
That was built by the developer. Is this one going to be served by the sewer of the city? Because if it's so, I'd like to make sure that nothing is taken away from the existing residents, and we overcrowd our already pretty crowded sewer system, right?
Understood. Thanks. Thank you, Celia. Next speaker.
Jack Carroll. I don't know if I heard myself right, but did I hear him say they're going to go from 125 feet to 50 feet, or did I hear wrong?
35-foot maximum. 35 feet.
No, I'm not talking about height. Is that what they're talking about, the height?
I think I know. We'll get an answer to your question, Mr. Carroll. You're talking about
again.
The lot sizes. We'll get you an answer.
Oh, understood. Lot sizes.
We'll get you an answer.
Lot sizes. Got it.
Seems like you keep adding and decreasing. And I don't know if you're doing that deliberately or not, but people like me, they're a little confused.
Understood. Thank you, Jack. Next speaker.
Grand Landings is a very unique development with unique issues.
Sir, if you could state your name for the record.
Yeah, if you don't
reset the shot clock.
Time off.
Yep.
Robert Meyer, 117 South Cooper's Hawk Way.
Thank you.
Grand Landings is a unique development with unique issues, and therefore I'm asking this council to help develop unique solutions to make the proposed amendment work for the developer, for the HOA, and for the city. This community was transferred to the HOA when it was less than 20% complete. Normal transfers occur at 90% or greater. Therefore, it is extremely important that you consider the HOA input and also consider the HOA as a necessary party in this process, as any extra units, zoning changes, are going to add members to the HOA that were not contemplated by the original declaration. I want to read something right off of the amendment proposal. It talks about recreation. A recreation amenity complex to include active and passive recreation has been constructed on the property Parks and Recreation concurrency for 709 dwelling units on this project is vested pursuant to city comprehensive plan. Recreation and amenity space for up to an additional 141 units will need to be provided by the developer. Well, that statement by itself doesn't really tell you a whole lot about what he's going to do by adding these units. So I'll give you a little perspective what we currently have. The current amenity in the community consists of a small dog park, amenity building that contains a small kitchen and a fitness center of about 540 square feet, with a capacity of about 8 to 10 people in that fitness center, a pool with a capacity of 40 bathers at a time, and 10 parking spots. The current population is about 600 and will grow to 2,100 under the current MPD. It'll grow another 400 or so to 2,500 with the amendment. Now, how well do you think this current amenity center will serve 2,500 residents? The developer indicated to us at a meeting on July 15th with the board that he plans to add no significant amenities except maybe an open field. So basically what we have is what we're going to get. There is a great need for a larger meeting area, offices for property manager, and HOA board members, group meetings, social events, as well as some additional recreation activities, and a lot more parking spots. In order to handle the increased, we also have problems with the gate being able to handle the increased traffic, and at this time, the developer has not offered to assist us. He has done some stuff in the last 12 months, but this is stuff that will need to be done in order to...
Understood. Yep. Thank you, Robert. Next speaker.
My name is Larry Lettinen. I'm 163 North Starland Drive. I'm the treasurer of the board of directors of the association, but I'm here today to speak as a homeowner. While I am not in disagreement with the attachment increase of 141 from 749 to 890 to the bill of remaining phases of the master plan, or the reduced size to 45 feet of some of the lots, but I am in placement of the smaller lots are located so as not to readily be seen unless you are in the particular phase neighborhood. And I am relieved in the agreement where I quote, recreation and amenity space for all 141 units will need to be provided by the developer, because we are certainly going to need more than one amenity center for 899 units. However, I do have some concerns, and that's additional homes that could be, and I quote again, single-family attached units that will be arranged with party walls and blocks of 2 to 4 units, and that they may be developed for either condominium or fee simple form of ownership. This could be a conflict call problem to the HOA because, you know, condos are governed under a different Florida statute. And also the amount of traffic that eventually be used in the one main, we'll have one main artery, Grand Landings Parkway, that all the traffic would be entering and exit on the one parkway. I personally, because of the view from my home, have a problem with a planned road off of Amenity Circle to phase four, which will breach a wooded preserve area that's there now. In case you're not aware, our community as of this date is all single-family detached homes on lots much larger than 45 feet. This enhanced the appeal. It is the reason a lot of us purchased our homes at Grand Landings. Some of our concerns were addressed at a recent association meeting with the developer, in which we were assured that all the homes constructed in the next phase four will be single-family detached homes. I would like to request that all the homes in the remaining phases be constructed in the same single-family detached manner. Insofar as the commercial area, we have been informed that while slated to be constructed on both sides of the entrance to our Grand Landings community, the commercial area will not be considered a part of our association. There is insufficient information in the amendment that would allow us to make a determination as to any other concerns we might want to express with the commercial area at this meeting.
Thank you, Larry.
Under these circumstances, I would like to suggest an attachment and an exhibit be added to the amendment detailing all pertinent data to include the sketch of the commercial areas on each side of Grand Landings Parkway to include location, number, size, and type of businesses and residential units planned with each.
Yep. Time's up, sir.
You get 3 minutes.
You can leave your written documents with the clerk if you like.
If you want to put something to them,
I'll give them all of it. One more.
Okay.
I'd ask that the clerk could make copies of that and we'll put it in our inbox.
Yes, please. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Carolyn Sierra. I didn't plan on speaking, but I'm going to speak. I really just want to appeal to the council to really, if you would really take into consideration all of the homeowners that currently live in Grand Landings. My husband and I are new there. We just built our house and moved in 7 months ago. And we built in that development for investment, but more so protection. So as this developer wants to come in and he wants to add the other two back sections, I'm asking and appealing to you guys to really consider the homeowners and what their investment is, just to protect us from our homes, you know, the value of our homes going up and not with whatever the developer is planning on putting around that area to bring our property values down. That would be my biggest appeal. I also piggyback and agree with the other two gentlemen that talked about the amenity center. If you're going to add that many more homes, I mean, right now, there's no way that we would have enough for all these other new homes coming in with the very small amenities we have. And the also thing that I'm very concerned about is there only being one entrance and exit, not the construction end of it on citation. But what if there's an emergency and people need to get out? You're talking all these homeowners trying to get out in one entrance and exit to the development. I just don't think that's a wise thing. So I'm just, again, appealing to the council to take careful consideration to everything that the developer wants to do and just to really protect the homeowners that are currently there. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Joyce Jones, and I am the president of the HOA, but I'm speaking as a resident tonight. Since this is a significant amendment to this MPD, the HOA, I feel, should be a required party in the process, since it has the obligation to maintain all the roads and the amenities that will benefit these extra homes people the city is considering allowing JTL to add to the HOA. The HOA will also be obligated to these homes people, so they should have a say and be a party to the agreement that is going to add these members to the HOA, not contemplated by the original declaration. There are concerns, as other people spoke about, there are concerns with the community adding the 140 units to a community that does not have the amenities to support what is already authorized, and the developer has been explicit that while they still own the building, they will not make any improvements or enlargements to the HOA if HOA is fully responsible for maintenance and upkeep of that building. The other concern that I have is adding all these additional homes and reducing lot size. I don't feel that it's going to do anything for my property values because what I bought into was 749 homes. There's a concern that the developer can come in and unilaterally change the plans that all the homeowners relied upon when they purchased in Grand Landings. So I don't know how many more amendments are going to come forth. I'm assuming that this is probably not the last one. And how many units is the city going to allow to come into this community? The other main concern I have is that I just heard tonight being talked about is that the commercial property up front, there really is no definite plan. It's just kind of a bubble plan that's saying that they can take this property. There's no percentage of what they could use for multifamily, what they could use for commercial. I would think that the city should have and the HOA should have a definite plan if it's 30%, 50%, if it's so far down the road that they're going to look at developing this property as multifamily, then why is this being changed now? We certainly don't want apartments up front that brings in a lot of rentals, and there seems to be no definite plan as to whether this is going to be the entrance behind the gate. Is it going to be a part of our HOA, or is it going to be separate? Is it going to be under a master plan HOA and be a sub-HOA? There's a lot of questions that aren't being answered. So I would think before this gets approved that some of those questions should be answered, and maybe there's a preliminary site plan that needs to be done up for the 141 homes and plus the commercial property up front. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay, I'll go ahead and close public comment. Could you address staff? Oh, I'm sorry, Michael, yes.
We'll double team as we can.
Sure.
Bill may not have some of that information. You want to just go through your questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Celia's question regarding sewer and possible impact of services to other residents.
It'd be City of Palm Coast sewer.
Excellent. And of course, there'd be no detrimental impact to anyone who's receiving sewer services today.
And part of course, development is the impact fees, and those impact fees go to paying for the capacity at our water and sewer plants.
Excellent. Thank you.
Councilman Kuflet, if I may just pause one thing, because there was some confusion in the community's comments. To be very clear, the conceptual master plan is not changing. Okay, the conceptual master plan that was approved from the beginning is still the conceptual master plan. All the roads that are shown on the conceptual master plan from 2005 are shown the same as they are today. Okay, the size of the lots is not changing. Presently, the developer has the option to give housing stock at a minimum of 45-foot widths. That is presently. We're not asking for that change. The only thing that we're changing in this application is adding the additional units, 140 units, and clarifying the commercial use to allow for the conversion of portion of it being commercial and a portion of it being multifamily with the restrictions that we put in there. So those are the only changes to the PUD that are being put forth today by the developer. Other than that, the entire development will remain exactly the same as it is today and in its continued build-out pattern. So just maybe that will help some of the people in the community.
Excellent. Thank you. And also just to restate, the construction entrance will eventually be a permanent?
Yes, sir.
Okay, excellent. Joyce had issues with HOA, but that it's not impacting with this change. Larry was in the same situation, and Robert was also in the same situation. Were there any additional responses that you would like to give to any of those speakers? I think you just kind of hit them all.
Well, you know, we've been doing this a long time, and we understand citizens' concerns about what is going to happen in the future and what isn't. I mean, this is a project that could be, you know, many more years. It's already been in the making for 15. So if it's another 15, depending upon the economy. So the exact layout and plan of what the commercial uses will be on the 26 acres is just unknown at this time. It's just a permission to use commercial as long as it complies with the city's exact standards. Whatever is built there, a plan will come back to City Council at some time, whether it's a plat or a site plan approval, and there'll be another public hearing on those processes. So any future development on the commercial tract will have to go through the site plan or plat process and again be approved by the City Council. So I think that's important. The issues that were raised about the HOA and what is it going to be and who's responsible for it is very clear. It's in their HOA documents. The 26 acres is not part of the HOA. It is outside of it, and it will not be part of their governance. It will not be using their internal roads and that type of thing. This is a gated community. That commercial on the outside will be suited more for those people in the area down there in South Palm Coast and how it is accessed by the community. The Grand Landings community can be discussed at a later time when we actually have a plan. So again, all this about HOA and whether it is or isn't is very clear. It's in their documentation, and I'm sure, as you've seen in the past, they're represented by council that probably can and help them on that issue.
Excellent.
So we're definitely going to have two entrances.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. First, it's a requirement of the city's comprehensive plan, and that second entrance is being installed in Phase 4, which is intended to start construction shortly. It's been approved by the City of Palm Coast for 186 lots.
And that is part of safety. What I leave at, we only have one. Cypress Knolls, only one way in, one way out.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
True.
We recognize that.
Wouldn't be unique, but thank you for putting up the two entrances.
Yes, sir.
And the height concession, from what I understand, that alleviated a lot of citizens' concerns with the possibility of what could go out in that 26 acres, so that seems reasonable. Mm-hmm. Does council have any other questions?
Just ask you, I guess first the staff, are we satisfied with the road way that's going to be constructed in there, and it is constructed right now with regards to egress and an evacuation scenario, you know, and looking at it at full load out there?
Yes, know? Sir. Yes, sir. We're satisfied.
Yep. Fire department's happy with it.
Yeah, part of the preliminary plat process, we look at the ingresses and egresses, and we have our certified fire reviewers reviewing the plans as well for emergency services.
Okay. Now, the other aspect, the question I wanted to ask, Mike, the developer, obviously, you got, my personal, after listening to all this, is the recreation center and the swimming pool. Obviously, that's not big enough to serve what's coming, you know, and the growth. Certainly, in most of these developments, there's a larger community. For example, at the Tidelands,
they got
two swimming pools, and it's not anywhere as big as this. And not that I'm expressing that he's built the Tidelands, but as time goes on, you got to have plans to meet the needs of the people. And I know you're very fair, so I'm just kind of curious as to listening to what I'm hearing from some of the residents. They have a valid concern.
Yes, sir, they do. Jeff, by the way, Jeff Douglas, right. Representing JTL, Douglas Property and Development. By all means, the residents have legitimate concern in that, and the president herself can attest to this, that when she purchased her home, there was no planned amenity. And then we stepped up an amenity pricing relatively $500,000. We enacted a $1 million amenity, so in agreement to that. As we've said since the beginning, as you develop a project, you want to match what the demands of that project is. Is it an all-purpose field? Are we getting more families than retirees? Are we doing pickleball courts? Are we doing, we have jogging trails throughout. What is the amenity that fits that? It's a decision we make, you know, as we approach it. I'd reached out prior when we were adding another $350,000 to the HOA annually on the first go around. I'd reached out to individual homeowners and saying, put together a committee to tell us what type of product that you would be looking at. So it's something that you come together on to sit here today and to pick it. The only guarantee is it won't be right. Because we're talking a year, 2 years. They're just starting the construction in Phase 4. It's going to take a year to build it. And that's only 180 units down the road. We're still nowhere near So another section may come on and do their own pool complex and have who knows what the economy is going to be in 24 months. So we'll address it like we did in the front. I mean, we overreached on it, and then there's another consideration. They're paying $1,200 a year in HOA, roughly. They can probably tell me exactly. I'm close. You know, we got to be real careful where these people buy in, and that's part of the value of their homes. We're increasing that value. So far, every year it's gone up, and that's our goal, because at the end of the day, we get more money for our land. So we have to be real careful when we dump an amenity. You know, we turn it over and you have this, and then their HOA dues go up to $1,500. So there's a lot that goes into that. But I appreciate your concern, and I completely understand their concern. And that's well taken.
Phase four, I have a reminiscence of a Seinfeld episode in phase four.
Hopefully it's not that.
No. But as long as you're hearing the people, and
yes,
as
sir.
Long as, you know, your homeowners know that you are amenable to listen, which is crucial in communications, and advise and keep them posted. You know, that's where we tend in leadership to fall off the end here, because we poorly communicate what's going on. That's the only thing I'd ask you guys to do, communicate with the homeowners.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well said, Jack. And I was also encouraged the back and forth with the citizens and you guys going back to the drawing boards and trying to come up with something that was a little bit more amicable, both parties. So, Council, do we have any other questions? No? If not, I'd like to bring back to this Council. Do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those against say nay. Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Moving on to item I, which is resolutions. There's one resolution, and it is for approving the Community Development Block Grant, the CDBG, Federal Fiscal Year 2019-2020 Annual Action Plan. Bo?
Mayor, Council, each year we outline to the federal government how we intend to spend the CDBG dollars. Jose's here to give the details.
Good evening, Vice Mayor and members of City Council. Jose Papa for the Community Development Department. Just want to go through briefly the upcoming fiscal year annual action plan for our Community Development Block Grant. Just to give you some background, this annual action plan is really just a one-year plan that describes our activities and actions that will occur over the coming year using the CDBG dollars. As required by the program, any activity that we undertake must meet one of the national objectives of the program. That is, it must benefit a low and moderate income person or a low and moderate income area. The activity must prevent or eliminate slum or blight or address an urgent community development needs, which usually arise as a result of a declared emergency. Under the proposed allocation, staff, along with your Citizens Advisory Task Force, has recommended continuing with the ongoing activities, and these include continuing with our homeowner repair assistance program, continuing with an allocation to the Recreation Parks Department for their senior and youth activities. Those include summer camp, swim lessons, recreational activities, and wellness programs, providing some funds for public service activities. And as we stated during the workshop, the intent here is that in coordination with Flagler County Social Services, to allocate those funds to Flagler County Social Services along with allocations from previous years. And of course, a certain amount of the funds are available for program administration and planning. And City does intend to use part of that to include, to retain the services of our grant administrator to establish that public service mini grant program, which I think addresses the comments that we received from our Citizens Advisory Task Force at their June public workshop, providing for additional funds to retain the consultant to design a public service grant program, as well as distributing all identified funds for public service as quickly as possible. So this is the allocation for the upcoming year. About 400,000, will go into our housing program. About 73,000, which is the maximum allowed under CDBG rules, 15% of the allocation, will go to public service, and $10,000 for planning and admin and monitoring of the program. The annual action plan also updates the low-moderate income area map as required by, as provided by the, by HUD. So the steps taken to get to this point in our annual action plan approval process, we had a 30-day comment period. We received no comments. We had our public workshop in July with City Council, last month with City Council. Here we are at a public hearing. And upon approval of City Council, we will forward the document along with appropriate, with the required paperwork to HUD by their August 15th deadline. And I'll be happy to answer any questions at this point.
Absolutely. Council, do we have any questions for staff?
Let me ask you one thing, and this is crystal balling it. We're applying for the max.
This is an annual allocation. HUD sets the amount that we receive, sir.
Okay, HUD sets it. Is there a way to increase it if we needed to?
It's based on the formula, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Based on population of the municipality, and included in that formula is the amount of people in low-moderate income areas.
Yeah, and I ask that because, you know, I'm working with the homeless situation here, and I got some things up my sleeve. Down the line, we may need more money. I'll just put you on note on that.
And if Vice Mayor and Council, if I could just add, Jose spoke briefly about the funding available that could be available should we enter into an agreement with Flagler County to address some of the homeless issues you're working on, Councilman Howell. So that, if that does come to fruition, this is once again the planning document of our intent of how we plan to spend the funds, that would come back before City Council for discussion action. So I know there were some newspaper reports about a possible partnership developing. It's a little too early to say, but definitely want to let you know that that would come back to you for discussion and action.
Is it possible that the updated census tracts from 2020 will put this in a little bit of different light, too? How frequently are those census tracts updated today? Are these fixed numbers from the 2010 census, or are they updated annually?
No, sir. The boundaries themselves are fixed, but the demographics are HUD update them using the American Community Survey, which is really conducted every year, but it is, and what they did is that they took 5 years of annual community surveys and took the average of that, and that formed the basis for their updates of the low-moderate income populations within the census tracts.
Understood.
But they will do it. They won't do it just every decennial census. They will do it in between using the American Community Survey, which is also conducted by the Census Bureau.
Excellent.
If I remember correctly from last Tuesday, we needed to, you know, at least conform to four or five requirements in order to get this grant.
Yes, sir.
I believe we did, didn't we?
Yes, sir. There's the three national objectives.
Those and, three, okay.
Yes, sir. And probably because it's either a low-moderate income person or a low-moderate income area. So you could say there's probably four.
Well, I'm only saying this because just in case if we didn't fulfill them all,
right,
then we could get more money once we do.
And you only need one to fulfill one of them. But again, the allocation itself is determined by HUD and allocated with the approval of Congress. So changing it at this point probably doesn't happen.
Understood. Council, any other questions? No? Do I bring it back to this council or do I open it for public comment?
Public
Excellent.
Comment.
Open this up for public comment. Item I-9, approving the community development block grant. If anyone would like to participate in public comment, state your name for the record. You'll
My
have 3 minutes.
My name is Celia Buglisi, resident of Palm Coast. I want to remind this council again, one of the reasons to get or requirements or uses for the HUD grant is blight. Even Mayor Holland have mentioned in a past meeting that Florida Park Drive, practically he said she agrees that with the residents that is blighted. Because that's, she said Florida Park Drive doesn't look like any other Palm Coast street. She agrees. So we have blight in Florida Park Drive. It's 1.8 mile. And I would like whether is from this grant some landscaping should be added, like we've been asking for the 2 years or more, or otherwise use some of the taxes that we pay to the government for erasing the blight, at least with some landscaping, which will always help the calming traffic speed as well. And we have to appreciate that you have already taken the great decision of putting the signs up, and you're working on the ordinance for the no truck road. It has improved a lot. But that street is very blight. It's all Palm Coast, and it needs it. Blight is one of the reasons for this grant. So I will appreciate. Don't forget, whether it's from our taxes that we pay, that we also need some, you know, erasing the blight with some landscape in Florida Park Drive. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Celia. Next speaker. All right, I will close public comment. I'm not certain that the level of blight, quote unquote, on Florida Park Drive would qualify for CBDG dollars, but I'll defer to staff.
I don't have much more to add to what you just stated, Vice Mayor.
Yep.
Yeah. Just, you know, blight, as far, you know, like most federal grant programs, has a fairly specific definition with findings. And so, yeah, it was, you know, there's definitely a high level to reach that sort of, you know, abandoned houses, shuttered houses. That's what you're typically going to be looking when you look for blight.
Yep, understood. Okay, thank you very much. I'll bring it back to this council. Any comments, or I will entertain a motion?
I move to approve this community grant.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those against say nay. Motion passes 4-0. Moving on to item J, other business. Item 10, we're going to appoint a council member as the voting delegate to the 93rd Annual Florida League of Cities FLC Conference. And I don't have the exact date in front of me, but I believe is it the 17th?
August 15th through
August
the 17th.
15th through the 17th. I personally, with sadness in my heart, will be in Portugal. So I will not be able to attend the conference this year, but if anyone from our council, what is the strategy for people attending this year?
Well, before you even go there, I do have a wedding for Fernando Melendez, as you know, our friend, and this has been scheduled since February, so if any other of my colleagues would be kind enough to take over, I'd appreciate it.
I'm going to be there on the 14th because I'm attending that forum on the homeless. And I hadn't planned on staying, but if needed, you know, I was really planning an all-expense-paid trip to Bunnell for the weekend. But, you know, I guess I'll have to give that up.
Well, I think, you know, if you're not able to attend the whole conference, the voting day is actually just the 17th. So it'd be up to you, you know, what your schedule depends on.
If we get in a lurch, then I'll be your guy.
Understood.
Yeah, I will not be able to attend either the 15th or the 16th. I mean, if you need a warm body to show up, pick up the credentials, and cast a vote, which, no offense to the Florida League, because it's a great organization, but it's not it isn't something I was hoping to attend the whole conference this year, but I just won't be able to because of work issues. So
understood. Then I certainly think that we have a direction that we would like to go. Can I entertain a motion for appointing Jack Howell, Councilman Howell, to be our voting delegate to the 93rd Florida League of Cities?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those against say nay. Jack? Okay.
Congratulations.
Motion passes 4-0.
No, nothing.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jack. Very proud to have you there as our voting delegate. Thank you. Moving on to item K is the consent agenda. If anyone from the public would like an item pulled off the consent agenda, please approach the podium and identify the item, and we will pull that from the consent agenda. Otherwise, I will bring it back to this council for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against say nay. Consent agenda passes 4-0. Moving on, item L, the second portion of our public participation. If anyone from the public would like to comment, you'll have 3 minutes once you approach the podium and state your name for the record.
Louis McCarthy, Palm Coast. I wish to thank the council for the prompt work at getting me the week in review. I appreciate looking at it and everything, and by dropping me. Every 10 years, I get dropped. And this just happened to be one of them, but you got it back to me quick. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, George Mayo, Palm Coast. At the county commission meeting yesterday, I brought up the topic of Stop the Bleed kits. And there was some confusion as to whether they were handed out to the schools and whether they weren't. And they were going to look into it. Jonathan Lord got up, the director in the county commission, and said that over 100 were given to the county and 40 to 50 were given to the city of Palm Coast. And I would like to know if any are available here in the chambers in today's political divisiveness and everything that happens. Hopefully nothing ever bad happens here, but should something happen, are they available? And I would like to know, are they available in City Hall? It seems like possibly they were given to the county and they're sitting. One of the doctors said that they weren't going to hand them out to the school specifically until there was training given. Tonight's 6 o'clock news. They had Orange County. All the teachers were being given with their programs, et cetera, showed the picture. Everyone was getting a Stop the Bleed kit. So I would like the mayor's office and possibly the manager's office to look into this and tell me, are they available? Are they languishing somewhere? Because anybody, yes, you should have maybe training, but I think anybody could learn how to use a tourniquet if you went to Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and even some of our retired officers here would know how to use it. But if they aren't available, we can't use them. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker? No? Excellent. I'm very proud and happy that you are a reader of our Week in Review, and I'm glad that they got you back on the mailing list. Mr. Mayo, I'm sorry I interrupted. I was unsure what we were speaking about, but the tourniquets, the Stop the Bleed kits, understood. And you're absolutely right that tourniquets can make the difference between life and death in an emergency situation. Bo, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, we do have first aid kit supplies here that are restocked regularly through our safety coordinator, but I will double check with and make sure we have the. Do you know that already, Jerry? If you do, come on up. Chief Forte.
Vice Mayor and City Council, we were recipients of the Stop the Bleed kits through Jonathan Lord and the emergency management team. We also have a group of people that are working with the Palm Coast Fire Department, Flagler Beach Fire Department, and Flagler County Fire Department, who are using a joint task force, if you will, working with the Sheriff's Office on how to do school interactives with active assailants. A lot of the people that are in those programs on teaching that are bringing that back to the fire departments where the kits are. They're already in service on the trucks, and they're in all the engines. So they are getting distributed, not necessarily to the schools, but within 5 minutes, any fire truck is going to get to any incident within the city, and they'll be able to use those kits as soon as they have to. Hopefully, it'll never have to happen.
Understood. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to item M, discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Councilman Cuff?
Nothing for this meeting, Vice Mayor.
Councilmember Branquino?
I just want to thank Councilman Jack Howell for the 17th. For being the representative of the city on the Florida League of Cities. And by the way, on that wedding, I'm part of the bridal party. That's the reason why I must attend.
Councilman Howell?
I've got something that I've been working on, and it has to do to bring jobs here, high-paying jobs, to the city of Palm Coast. I have been working with staff. I have a video that will be ready for preview on the 20th of this month. And the target audience is the organization that I belong to, the National Business Aviation Association, with 20,000 members. We've targeted about 500 companies, about 100 companies with 500 employees or less. and we hope that this will be an incentive for some of them to decide to come here. I have a letter drafted. It'll be on city head letterhead. It'll be signed by me as a commission or as a councilman and as a member of the National Business Aviation Association. Unless you all have an objection, I would like to go forward with that letter and sign it, you know, so that we can hit the target.
Understood. I have no objections. If the council members do, I'm
open. It's good for the city. It's good for me.
Yep, go fishing, Jack. Councilman Hall, absolutely.
Bob?
Go fishing for them. Bring them back.
Okay. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, they Excellent. Pay well, these companies.
Wonderful.
And they don't have to be right at the airport.
Nice. Excellent. And I have nothing to add for this meeting besides it's Taco Tuesday. So let's see. Council discussion by city attorney of matters on the agenda.
I don't want to keep you from your tacos. I have nothing further.
Thank you, Mr. Reichman. And discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
Only just one thing in light of the comments made by a citizen, just to assure citizens that we do have safety and security plans here. We do regular training with sheriff's office on active assailant, and so we're adding, I guess, the tourniquets to the kit. It's, I guess this is the world we live in today, but definitely wanted to assure you of that.
Thank you. And again, being able to use a tourniquet is a tremendous life skill that hopefully you'll never have to use, but it is life or death. I will entertain a motion to adjourn our meeting.
A motion to adjourn the meeting.
So it'll be adjourned.